Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's an MCSC at Tab, and he comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online this morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we will do our best to help you out on this beautiful Saturday morning. Yes, it is music of the night morning here, here in Radio Land, where Southington's going to have their home marching band performance. So make sure you go out and check out Music of the Night. If you have not seen a competitive marching band, you don't know what you're missing. Just, I'm going to leave it at that. It's a, it's an afternoon well worth it. I think the gates open at 2, and Southington will go on at 8 p.m. And a bunch of great marching bands will be performing and competing. So check that out today in Southington. So in some technology news, you know I'm a big fan of the Pixel, right, Bob?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I love my Pixel 2. Works great. It's a Google's flagship phone. Well, they came out with the Pixel 4. It's on its way. And, of course, a little faster, a little smaller, a little brighter, a little, you know, a little quicker. Of course, very expensive. And big problem. Security problem, Bob. You know how everybody's trying to get those biometrics involved in security, right? So Apple's got the thing where if you look at the phone, it's supposed to unlock the phone because the phone's like, oh, it's Bob. I'm going to unlock you. Well, the ding-dongs at Google try to put this in place as well, except it doesn't know the difference if your eyes are open or closed. So if you happen to be asleep on the couch and somebody wants to take your phone and put it over your face and unlock it and go check out your text messages to your girlfriend, you're in trouble.
You should, wait a minute, if you're married, you shouldn't have that girlfriend.
Oh, you're right, you're right.
Never put that on your phone.
I'm going to get hell for that example. But the point is, this is the year 20, almost the year 2020. And you got to tell me that Google would release this, and they are knowingly releasing this with this flaw, that they would release this phone knowing that they can't tell the difference between open eyes and closed eyes in their security feature.
Well, my question is, if I walked up to you, Eric, and took a picture of you with my cell phone,
yeah,
and I put my cell phone with your picture in front of that, your
That's
cell phone?
A potential problem, too, I think. They're supposed to be able to tell depth and stuff like that, but who knows? I don't know. I just can't believe that they would even release a product like this.
It'll be a problem when they come up with holographic images.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is, of course, with everybody dealing with face recognition, we're kind of helping Apple, Google, and all these guys get a really good look at us right up to the last minute, right, with these facial recognition biosecurity features here. So I'm not so sure it's a great idea anyways, but this is ridiculously silly. I mean, come on, man.
In China, they're tracking people's behavior using facial recognition. So my question is, how long before they start doing it here?
No kidding. No kidding.
And they're doing it in London, too.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a lot of cameras in London. So bad news if you're the new Pixel 4, if you're excited about it. I'm excited about it. I mean, I'm not going to get it because I like to run my technology as long as I humanly can, right? If my phone is working beautifully as it is, I have no reason to pick up another one. But if you're in the market, the Pixel 4, it would be Google's flagship. The latest flagship phone, and don't use the facial recognition for security. Just turn that off. What else you got, Bob?
Well, under the heading of I can't make this stuff up.
Well, it's government's involved, so you go ahead here.
Yeah, well, they got to save tax dollars somehow.
Mm.
Okay, U.S. military retires floppy disks used by nuclear weapon systems.
Oh, so okay, so right, Bob. So the floppy disks, they probably would be the latest, like the 3.5-inch, those solid ones, 5.25-inch.
Nope.
Oh, really?
Nope.
How old are these? What size floppy disks are they retiring?
The storage setup of an Air Force command and control system finally shakes off the 70s.
Oh, my
gosh. Okay, this is the headline now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Air Force has finally retired the 8-inch.
8-inch floppy.
Not 5.25, not 3.5.
This is mainframe floppy stuff.
Floppy disks that could be used in the launching of nuclear missiles from silos around the country. According to a Thursday report from defense site C4ISRNET, the archaic Strategic Automated Command and Control System switched its storage component from the floppy disks to a highly secure solid-state digital storage solution in June, the report said, quoting Lieutenant Colonel Jason Rossi, commander of the Air Force's 595th Strategic Communications Squadron.
Mm-hmm.
A 60-minute tour of the U.S. Nuclear Control Center in 2014 gave the public a glimpse behind the curtain of how the defense sector works. It also revealed that in the event that the U.S. president ordered the launch of a nuclear warhead, the command would rely on 8-inch floppy disks.
All right, Bob, pull out the floppy disks. Let's get this
and
thing fired up.
Yeah. A 1970s-era IBM Series 1 mainframe computer.
Series 1?
Okay. Rossi told C4ISRNET that, I can't pronounce it, so I have to spell it out, that although the overall computer system is old, let's say ancient, it belongs in the Smithsonian.
It's as old as me.
Its age provides security. You can't hack something that doesn't have an IP address.
Well, he's right about that.
It's a very unique system. It's very old and it's very good.
I'm sure we put in nice Chinese solid-state equipment to get everything up to date now. Super microcomputers with little Chinese chips built into them.
Before TCP/IP.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're due for an upgrade. What could go wrong, huh, Bob?
Well, the Air Force is reportedly seeking a replacement for the SACCS system, but it hasn't revealed much more information, Rossi told C4ISRNET.
Wow.
But it probably won't be running on Windows.
Really? I don't know. I wouldn't put it past that, but hopefully they're not running on Windows.
If they're running on Windows, it'll probably be...
Well, the nuclear subs are running on Windows XP.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they'll probably... Or Windows 95, even better.
Jeez.
Hey, we got clients running their CNCs on Windows 95 because they can't upgrade.
I know. All right, Bob, that's some crazy news. In other news, in modern-day technology, so the guys at Tesla and gals made a bit of a rookie mistake. They use something called flash storage. Now, flash storage is not a bad thing for itself. However, it could lead to a very expensive repair. So basically, what Tesla's done...
Wait a minute. You mean that they relied on storage from like a compact flash card?
Compact flash... Well, no. That would be a little better than what they actually did do. A compact flash card insinuates that you could remove the card should it have a problem.
And swap it out.
You know, it's a $20 card, $30 card if it had a problem. Well, the ding-dongs at Tesla soldered it on. And the problem with flashcards is that when they keep writing data back and forth and back and forth, it affects the ability to write the bits, and eventually it simply fails. Now, this becomes an expensive thing because you literally are taking out the entire module, $1,800 module, to fix this problem. For a $20 part. Now, what can happen when this part fails? Well, the big control screens you're using will freeze and go black. Worse, it will stop the cars from even charging, which is also a bad thing. If a Tesla that goes dark, it's bricked. And has a little backup charge, has to keep going. You cannot let your car ever go to zero on a Tesla, or you're in big trouble. So in this case, you have to go ahead and get an $1,800 circuit board, and there's no easy fix to do it. So the folks at Tesla, because they keep adding more and more software to the onboard software, the iOS as it were, and it writes a bunch of logs. Of course, Tesla likes to know what's going on. The more logging, and this little CF card is soldered on. So we'll put a link up here. You can read it yourself. If you're a Tesla owner, you might have something coming along.
Well, I would be willing to bet you that it sends those logs up to some place that collects them. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the yeah. CF card's capacity isn't that big,
no,
even the biggest
it's not.
Ones. So it's got to be sending it up somewhere where they're collecting it so they can improve the car.
Well, that's the thing, right? This is why we have issues when it comes to IT, right? When you have computer geeks building a car versus mechanical people building a car, there's two different groups of folks building this vehicle, right? So remember, computer people, technology people are the ones that brought you Y2K, right? They didn't know that we'd end up going and clicking over to the year 2000. They just figured everything was going to stop in the 19s.
Yeah, but wait a
minute. Like a computer that's going to go and start have a 2 in it.
They were still building motherboards, computers, with a BIOS that had only the six digit date
mm-hmm.
instead of the 8-digit date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Up until 1996.
Yeah. This is my point.
Which is 4 years before Y2K.
Yeah, IT guys, this is why I don't do online banking. IT guys screw this stuff up all the time. True engineers wouldn't be screwing this up when they build a car. So when you have your car built by IT guys, you end up with a problem like this where your $80,000 Tesla doesn't work because a $30 CF card that can't be removed because they soldered it on fails. That's what you get when IT guys put a car together. I'm sorry, it's true. I'm sorry, IT guys out there, you know I'm right. You know I'm right. All right, another quick news here. There's a senator out there that's proposing a data privacy bill with some serious punishments. So you might have heard that the FTC set a record fine of YouTube of $170 million. Million with an M. Million against YouTube. You know what that's like? It's like lunch money. For their Children's Online Privacy Protection. They violated the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. And, of course, the FTC also fined Facebook $5 billion over its data privacy violations in July. Who knows if they paid that bill yet. But there's a senator out there, Ron Wyden. He's a Democrat from Oregon, who's saying he wants to put out some meaningful penalties for folks who leak our data all over the internet. And this is the Mind Your Business Act. Kind of like it, actually. It's kind of funny.
They should have made it the MYOB Act.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of expands something on Wyden's Consumer Data Protection Act. And what it's going to say here, it's going to impose some taxes and penalties on companies when their CEOs lie about privacy practices. And, of course, it's going to actually hit you for some serious fines, up to 4% of the company's annual revenue for the first-time offense. So, basically, if you are a company like YouTube and you did what you did with the Children's Protection Act there, instead of being fined $170 million, you would have been hit with a $4.64 billion fine. Now, I'm not a big tax and regulation government guy. However, I am sick and tired of our data sitting out there on the cloud being given over to everybody and their brother because the security has not been set up by the same IT guys I just referenced that build the Teslas, right? So until we put some penalties in them putting out our data the way they have, we're going to find this happening all the time. Now, of course, there is a an association, the Internet Association. It's a lobbying group that represents tech giants like Facebook, Google, Amazon, and Microsoft. They have a privacy framework, but does it have any penalties?
Let me guess. They probably get a reward, a tax break.
Right. So they have no penalties on this. So basically, they're trying to get some sort of law passed. Of course, it's going to be something that doesn't impact them at all. So this is a good thing in general. We need to have these companies pay and pay dearly for releasing our data. They stick it out in the cloud there. They have ding-dongs putting it out there and not setting it up properly. And I'm tired of it. I don't know if you're tired of it, but we're all tired of it. The right to privacy is something that we have expected as an American citizen for a long time. And these companies are just blowing it, man, completely blowing it. So we'll put a link up there for you as well. We're going to step out for a quick break. We get three lines wide open. Feel free to get online on this lovely Saturday morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are going to be here till 11 o'clock. Let's get to your calls. The lines are all starting to fill up. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We got Paul in Litchfield. Hey, Paul.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Regarding Tesla,
yeah.
I looked into that, and apparently there are only like three private garages in the company that appear to have a better solution than Tesla's.
Right.
The closest one to us, I believe, is South Carolina.
Yes. They have an issue with service.
They are run by geeks with grease under their fingernails. These guys build cars and are also on the tech end of it. So there's the solution, it took quite a bit of reading for them to explain how it works.
Right. It's pretty impressive.
You know what? I mean, I've always been a fan of Tesla.
Yeah.
The concept.
Sure.
But then I started, getting into the rabbit hole of the Lynx.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have spent $130,000 on a car that has exposed primer on it.
Mm.
And we're not talking under the hood. We're talking on the body panels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tesla has a whole issue with quality that needs to be addressed.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I was listening to the repeat last week.
Yeah.
And you guys were talking about electric race cars.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
And Lime Rock, back in the 90s, actually had a Formula One electric race car called the Delta Wing.
No, neat.
I have not got, it came up to do some testing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten into whether or not Delta Wing still exists, but the driver, Catherine Lagel, who at the time was in her early 20s, is still running today. And she runs for Jaguar, has a whole electric race car team.
Oh, yeah. Is it Jaguar or Jaguar? Just kidding. They have their iPace. That's probably what we were talking about again that I saw. I was just flicking through some channels, and I saw this electric iPace race going on. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. And the woman that ran at Lime Rock was Catherine Nagel.
Yeah.
And she is now their number one driver for Jaguar. Or
nice.
Jaguar.
Just kidding. And, now I got you doing it.
Yeah. And for those of you that, think that going around a circle is stupid, you'd rather go in a straight line.
Yeah.
There's a complete electric drag race series running in this country.
Well, they're not running in Northern California, right? The power's out. Sorry.
What happened is they got a hold of Caterpillar. And they came in with some diesel generators.
Is that clean enough power? That sine wave is pretty dirty, I bet.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, the one thing about charging batteries on generators is it's a little dirty. That power is kind of dirty. You think about the issues of Northern California. Turning off the juice and all those Tesla vehicles, or those electric vehicles just sitting there saying, uh-oh, what are we going to do? I mean, I found it amazing during the October snowstorm right here, back in 2011 now. It's been a bunch of years since it happened that you couldn't go get to a gas station because they didn't have any generators. Well, that blew my mind.
They're having power outages in California.
Right. On purpose.
Yeah, not because of the weather.
No, because they don't know how to run their system.
Well, no, that's not it either.
Yes, it is.
Well, that's part of it.
It's all of it.
Because it's maintenance. No.
Yes, it
is. Well, that's regulated.
They run their electric company like Venezuela runs theirs.
The government only allows them to make a certain amount of money, not enough money to maintain the system.
Oh.
So they have to shut the
The line's down.
The line's down, so they don't have forest fires. But do you know why? It's not to prevent the forest fires.
No.
Do you know why?
I don't know why.
It's so they won't be sued if there's a forest
fire.
Well,
that's true. Yeah, I think they're covered both ways. But, yeah, Venezuela's electric system is just as good as California, Northern California. So I just can't make that stuff up. In this, we, again, it's the year 2020, and we shouldn't have that happening. We shouldn't. That shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't have a bunch of electric cars sitting in garages. They can't go anywhere because the power company hasn't maintained their lines. I laugh, but we're really crying a little inside. I mean, it shouldn't happen. It just shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Right? But again, I found it amazing when in 2011 when we couldn't get gas, because I always figured that gas stations would have generators so that they could make sure that the gas kept flowing.
Well, didn't they sign some sort of a deal when we had our Snowtober?
Right.
That gas stations had to have a
now
generator?
They do. Now they do, because everyone was just as surprised as we all were. Hey, what the heck? Nobody's got generators to pump gas? What's going on there? That seems like an oversight a little bit. So I don't know.
Well, the tree huggers probably were happy.
We're all walking to work. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. So stick around, guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Two lines open for you. Everything we talked about is posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. So you can read the stories for yourself. They're there for you. Mike G is working feverishly to get it up there live for you guys. Of course, you can email us here in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. And of course, if you follow us on Facebook, and now Mark Zuckerberg, who knows where he is as far as if he thinks that, if it's worthy or not. What did Mark Zuckerberg say? It's okay. The politicians can say anything they want on Facebook now. Isn't that one of your stories, Bob?
I think I got it in here somewhere. Mark Zuckerberg,
they're not going to police that anymore. They can say whatever they want. If he deems it worthy, it'll get into your news feed.
But he said it's okay if politicians lie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's actually if they open their mouths, really. So we're going to step out for a quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we have two lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Can't help you with your CF card and your Tesla, though. Sorry. Nobody really can. They soldered it on. That's a whole other problem. Let's go on to Rich in New Haven. Hey, Rich. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? I got a new Windows 10 64-bit. Mm-hmm. HP, and it's got 16 gigabyte of RAM and a 256 SSD with 2 kilobyte of disk space. And I'm wondering, for photos and music, should I create a folder and just drag it into the floppy disk instead of using the SSD?
Into the floppy disk? There's no floppy disk in that thing, I hope.
Well, it's the...
The CD-ROM?
2 terabyte of...
2 terabyte. You said kilobyte. Okay, You have a 2 terabyte standard drive.
Yeah. It's called the D data drive.
That's
the way they set it up.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. That's what you should do. Yes, that's where you'd put your pictures. You wouldn't put them on the solid state.
So just drag them in there, and then create a shortcut or something, or
Make a folder called Rich's Pictures or whatever you want to do, and then just do a copy and a paste. Don't drag it. Copy and paste it.
Okay.
That way you've got them still in the original.
All of your volatile data, all the stuff you want to store, you should put on that drive. And just save your SSD for your non-volatile data, which is like your applications and your operating system, that sort of thing.
Okay, and I can copy and paste from the C to the D with that kind of information?
Oh, yeah, all day long.
No problem.
All right, another question. Windows installer, because I've got 32-bit programs in my old 7.
Mm-hmm.
That don't really work. That won't work on a 64-bit.
No, they will work depending on if you have the discs.
It depends on how old they are.
Yeah,
because
some of them are pretty old, and I already tried, and it doesn't do anything.
Here's the thing: the 64-bit programs, some of them have 32-bit modules that'll run on a 64-bit operating system. Because 64-bit will run 32-bit, but the problem is that. If it's old and it was designed for a 32-bit operating system, it may have some 16-bit modules that's built into the programming. And the 16-bit modules won't run on a 64-bit platform.
Yeah.
But do I need the Windows installer to operate those older programs from Windows 7?
You'll need the software's installer's ability to install the program, yes. So it's really, and there's nothing you can do. It all comes from the software you're trying to load. So
it'll pick up the Windows installer itself?
Yeah, it would have its own installer if it's capable of doing it, and then it'll install the program on the machine for you. Yeah.
Well, they're before 64-bit, these guys. It's like one of them is a POM.
Yeah, it'll work or it won't work.
If it's
a
true.
POM, did you say it was a POM?
Yeah, POM. Well, it's from the old.
And the odds are that may have some 16-bit programming in it.
Yeah.
If it's got 16-bit programming, it's not going to. But if it's true 32-bit,
yeah,
it'll run.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, very good then. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. It sounds like a great system. Now, what else are you going to do with that thing, Rich, as far as the advice we've given in the past? What are you going to do? It's a brand-new machine, right? You want to make sure it's set up properly. So you're going to do what? This is a quiz.
Just going to use it.
No, you got a lot of work to do. It's not really a lot of work. Proper antivirus, right? Number one, don't use the free stuff.
How about, for years I've just used the Windows stuff that's running out at the end of the year.
Not worth it. Microsoft's home antivirus was fine for a while, but it's really like the fox guard in a hen house. They literally released an update of Windows 10 that broke their antivirus. I can't even make that. I've got a story about it. Don't install Windows 10 1809 October 15th update. It breaks the antivirus. This is why you can't have Microsoft do both things. They can't be both protect the operating system because they don't know how to write the operating system, right? So literally they're going to break it.
I think this one is 1903, the one that's on here. Everything works fine, beautiful with it. It's faster than hell.
Oh, I'm sure that's great, but their update breaks Windows Defender. So don't use the free stuff. Go get your own antivirus. We recommend Webroot.
All right.
What else are you going to do? Have you ever heard of anything else we talked about on the show? It's just a quiz.
Yep. DNS. Sure.
You're going to configure that, right?
I'm going to set it up, yeah.
Good. Last thing, the most important thing. You got all your data on there, your pictures. Are you still married?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, if you want to stay married, you make sure you back up those pictures, right? Back them up.
I'm viva solo here, so.
All right.
Life is good.
But back up your drive, though, right? Get an external drive. You're going to spend
I have that now from the other computer. I'm going to bring that. That's what has a lot of the stuff in it. I'm going to bring into this because the other computer, the old one, just couldn't handle it anymore.
It's right.
7 years old.
Right. But back it up. Even though you've got the data in a separate place, go ahead and back it up again. So those are the things you got to do to make sure this thing gives you a nice, long life of service for you.
Very good, sir.
All right, Rich.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You get a brand new machine, and if you don't protect it with antivirus, get configured with OpenDNS and configure the backup.
Don't forget strong passwords.
Ah, another good thing to do. And turn on encryption. I should have said that too. If you use that computer for anything of any kind with any personal data on it or personal information on it, you should turn on BitLocker. If it's running Windows 10, it should be available. Does the home version have that one? I know Pro does.
Pro does. And Enterprise.
Yeah, so home may not offer BitLocker. Strong passwords. Make sure it's not a password of password or password 1 or 123456 7 or
Superman.
Right. Your address. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to your calls. We have three lines open for you. Feel free to get online on this lovely Saturday morning. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds, giving you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. Let's get right to your calls. You're going to go to Bob in Southington next. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, how are you this morning?
Good, good. You going to Music of the Night today?
I'm sorry, say it again?
You're going to go to the marching band competition in town?
I don't have to go. I live close enough where I can lay right here in my house and hear it.
Nice, nice. So what can I do for you, sir?
All right, about 2 weeks ago, Microsoft did an update on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since then, when I go in, I go online and check my mail, and I try to go back to my home page. In fact, it even changed my home page, but we'll get back to that later.
Mm.
It goes, this page is expired every stinking time.
So when you go back, and what's the home page that you're going to?
A Yahoo.
Why? Well, I'm sorry.
Well,
just kidding.
Yahoo forever. I'm old and I'm stuck in my ways.
All right. Well, you're going to be due some money. Remember that billion user breach, which obviously you're part of it because you use it forever. They owe you some money, about $150. So it's like going out to dinner on Yahoo for their leaking your information. So keep, go look up that if you get a chance.
Yeah, cool, because today's our anniversary. I can use it.
There you go. What browser are you using, Bob? You're using the Beach Ball? You're using the little E with the halo?
I'm using Internet Explorer.
Oh, my, you're not listening to the show ever, do you, Bob? Is this your first day?
I listen to it every week, but I, you know, I'm not a computer geek. I, you know, if I can get what I want, I'm happy.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But all right, so something's going on with IE on the page being expired, and oh, according to Bob, he's got an answer for you. It's a Yahoo problem.
It's not
it's not an update of your operating system. It's some sort of.
It started right after the Microsoft update.
I know. We can't blame Microsoft for everything, no matter how much we'd like to.
So what's happened is your browser forgot your password. So then it requires you to log back in every so often. And as a result, since your browser has forgotten your password, it can't log you back in and expires your page.
Right. That does seem plausible.
Right now, even, every time I want to get to my mail, I have to jump through hoops and put in my password.
They let everybody's stuff out. You know, they are now trying to really do a little better job of securing things. So what they're doing is they're expiring you. They're not leaving you logged in constantly.
Right.
And that's a credit to them, considering they screwed it up so badly. It's a little late, but it sounds to me like Bob is onto something here. It has nothing to do with the update. It has all to do with Yahoo maybe trying to improve things from what we can see. We also would strongly recommend staying away from IE and using Chrome. That's not a good browser.
And stay away from Edge.
Stay away from Edge, yeah.
Get away from the Edge.
Yeah, step back. So that's what's going on, Bob. And I would strongly tell you, I mean, Yahoo, yes, you're going to get some dinner money there, but fool me once, right? I mean, I would never use that mail system. You're kind of crazy. I hope you don't do anything important with it.
No, it's just I my club sends me emails every so often, and I get my ration of junk, and I get rid of the junk.
But do you have any kind of online services connected to your Yahoo mailbox? Like Netflix, Amazon, your bank, credit cards?
No. My wife is old-fashioned. Everything gets paid by check.
Gotcha. And you don't use any online services?
No.
Okay. Well, you're probably safer than the average person then.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's just a Yahoo issue.
So
it's nothing you can't fix it. Basically they're expiring you because you haven't been on their page, so you have to just log in.
So what if I go? If I go to
if you go to Yahoo Fresh,
somebody like that instead of
No, same problem. This is Yahoo. This is Yahoo trying to save you from you and from them.
They require you to log in more frequently than every 8 hours.
Right.
Every time I turn the computer on, I have to do it.
Sorry.
Me too.
Because it doesn't know how to manage your cookies.
Yeah. Again, you almost want this to be the way these services work. Keeping you logged in all the time is not a safe way to operate.
Why did they take off my Yahoo homepage and put MSN in its place?
Well, that's Microsoft saying that they know better than you. And that's a browser hijack, literally.
Yeah.
You can change that back. I assume you did, right?
Yes, I did this morning.
Yeah. That's just Microsoft. And again, that should be illegal. I mean, that's not the way. That should be awful. That's awful.
This is not the web page you were looking for. These are not the droids you were looking
exactly.
for.
Exactly. You can't go there, Bob.
Oh, well. Nice talking to you guys.
Yeah, sorry, we can't fix that. That's a good thing for you. It is a good thing because you Yahoo users need help.
Yeah. All right, I'll use a different browser and see. I don't know.
It won't make a difference. It shouldn't make a difference.
I'll go screaming into the wilderness.
There you go, Bob. All right, have fun.
Take care, fellas.
Yeah, you too. Screaming into the wilderness with IT. That's pretty much our lives. We're going to post some links up here explaining this, but it looks like Yahoo's trying to lock down a little more their stuff. And it's a good thing. Two-factor authentication, right? You want to turn on some of these security features. Although, if you're an Office 365 user on Friday and between 9 in the morning and noon Eastern Standard Time, you couldn't get to your 365 system in the cloud because the two-factor authentication that you turned on to make your Office 365 account more safe was broken. So you would not be allowed to connect. But it is a good thing to turn these security features on. And it's a good thing that Yahoo is going to expire your session after an inactivity period because you do not want to be constantly logged on. That's not how it's supposed to work. especially if you're not using it. It's just in a separate page sitting back there. They're logging you off. That's a good thing. I know you don't believe me, but it is. We're going to go on to Terry in Holland, Mass. Hey, Terry, what's up?
Hi there. I have an iPad and an iPhone that I recently upgraded to iOS 13.
Okay. How old are the devices? Are they older or younger?
The phone is brand new.
Oh, okay.
Less than 6 months. So nice. The iPad's a couple years old.
Okay.
And once I updated, a lot of things got kind of buggy that I wasn't happy with. But my biggest problem is I just took a bunch of pictures on my Canon EOS digital camera, and it won't download to any of the devices that were upgraded. I happen to have one iPad that wasn't upgraded yet, and I tried it there just to make sure I didn't have bad cables, and the photos downloaded, they are fine.
So it's probably a Canon problem. Is there an app you're using for the Canon to connect to the Apple devices?
No. You know, I just have a telephone cable, or not a telephone, a camera cable that goes to the iPad. Huh. And then I normally just turn the camera on and everything magically happens.
Wow.
And it doesn't. So do digital cameras need firmware upgrades or something?
So the issue with everything as you upgrade it is everything along with it has to go along too. So it could be that your EOS now is not compatible with the latest Apple iOS. And so, you may need to go and update the Canon camera. I suspect that if you do some searches on that particular topic, you'll find that that's the problem. Not enough people have found the bug yet, as you have.
Yeah.
But
I tried the searches, and I found a lot of problems with the iOS 13 release, but not that one. And then I tried to report a problem to Apple, and it doesn't seem like they're interested in...
No, they wouldn't be. Apple's not interested in the third parties. Apple's only interested in Apple.
Yeah.
So to Microsoft's credit, I can't believe I said this. I can't believe I've used those three words. They always worked really hard to work with third parties. The fact that Microsoft has so many problems is because it tries to interface all these printers, all these devices, all these systems, and all those interfaces cause trouble, right? So Microsoft works pretty hard working with third parties. Apple just cares about Apple. So if you're... phone, your camera doesn't work, it's really on Canon to update its ability to communicate with that operating system. Apple is not going to do anything. They don't care if Canon exists or not. Apple's out for Apple only.
Okay, so maybe if I contact Canon,
yes,
they would be more helpful.
They would be much more helpful, and they'll tell you what you have to do or what they're working on to make it work.
Okay, great. All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Terry.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Always the case when you upgrade any application, any operating system. You know, Windows 7 to Windows 10, we're doing a ton of upgrades for our client base. We have a very large client base with many systems to deal with, and a lot of them are trying to finally get rid of the Windows 7 operating system and move to Windows 10. Even though, as most of them are telling us, Windows 7's working fine, hey, we're just the messenger. This is Microsoft planned obsolescence. But when you do those upgrades on your operating systems, you're... peripheral devices, whether it's a clinical device for ophthalmology, whether it's a machine shop machine that is mining, you know, in 3D, dealing with the CNC communications, whether it's a copier, whether it's whatever it is, you have to bring along those peripherals. And that can add another layer of expense to your business as you try to perform these upgrades so that you don't leave yourself open to unpatched Microsoft applications. So what's happening in January of 2014 is, January 14th, 2020, is that Microsoft's going to stop providing security patches of their Windows 7 operating system. So what that means is the longer you go without patching your Windows 7 or replacing it, I should say, the bad guys are going to leverage or any of the holes that Microsoft hasn't fixed. And those holes may not even be known yet. They could just be sitting there, Microsoft, you know, not going to look at them anymore. And eventually, you know, the bad guys will leverage the hole. They'll trick you into loading a software package that takes advantage of that problem. And now you're compromised. And that's all because you didn't upgrade. Now, some businesses maybe can wait a little bit depending on what you're doing. You know, if you're a catering business or you're making, I don't know, depends on your level of worry. Are you working with financial data? Are you a CPA? Are you a financial planner? I mean, I wouldn't want my financial planner not updating the computers you know, I wouldn't want to work with that company. I wouldn't want my attorney not doing that. Because if the data is breached because you didn't do it, it's
negligent.
Exactly. So yes, you can be upset, as we all are, at Microsoft for forcing this down our throats. But if you don't do it, you leave yourself more open. So keep that in mind. Cyber insurances may also not pay out if you have not updated, because they're going to be like, well, you left the car unlocked with the keys in it and the thing running. Of course somebody stole it.
So you know? Correct me if I'm wrong, but Windows 7 has probably had the longest run of any operating system.
I don't know. We used to do our graph here to see how many operating systems were still in play. We should probably look at that. But I don't know that at all. It could be true. But please consider upgrading. Now, for your home use, you know, operate at your own use, at your own risk. It's going to either be a security risk for you over time or not. You should consider upgrading there, too, if you do anything of any kind of sensitive nature as far as data goes. But don't just ignore this. There are still Windows XP running out there, and believe it or not, that operating system has been dead for 6 years now or something. Those systems are very vulnerable to attack. However, there's so few of them that I don't think the bad guys are really targeting that. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We have four lines wide open. I know we've been absent for the past couple of weeks, so we're here, we're live. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out. I'm going to go right to Joe in Rocky Hill. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a Samsung 7.
Yeah.
Nice phone, works well, but I keep getting hijacked from Google, I think, or somebody who wants to give me a free prize because I'm the lucky 1 millionth or 1 trillionth user.
Yeah.
And
all you got to do is enter all your information, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I made the mistake. I did that back in February, but they're not going to get me again. But what's happening is I can no longer go out and use and search Google at all.
On your phone?
On my phone, because unless I answer the questions and enter all my information, it won't let me surf.
Whoa.
So I actually have taken Google off. And I just heard the last call. Unfortunately, I'm using Yahoo, which I'm not going to be.
Oh, man, Joe. Can you hold over through the break so I can get a little more information from you as to what's going on?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to hold you over so that we get a little more information on Joe's. Sounds like a hijack of some kind on his Samsung phone. So hang on, Joe. We're going to talk to you about that. We've got a couple lines open for you. The phones are coming in. Feel free to get online during the news. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about is posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And, of course, if you go over to Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg deems the newsworthy and you've liked Tab Computer Systems, it may get into your news feed. We'll be right back.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.